This week, as we all know, actually every single day in the Vaishnav calendar is a festival day, isn't it? This week just gone has been very, very special because we have been celebrating and honoring the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. So we must remember Lord Nrisimhadev, who is very, very special. Rupa Goswami says there are three forms of the Lord which are incredibly important for the Gaudiyas. Of course, Krishna. But then he also says the other two are Lord Ram and Lord Nrisimhadev. These three forms are especially important for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But there are so many avatars, so why Lord Nrisimhadev? Why Lord Ram and why Lord Krishna? Why are these three more important than the other avatars for the Gaudiyas? So Rupa Goswami gives the answer. He says that in these three forms of the Lord, the quality of bhakta vatsalya, care for the Vaishnavas, love for the devotees, protection, is coming out very, very strongly. And therefore, for the Gaudiyas, we don't want to just worship God from far, isn't it? In some religions, it's like that. God is a very distant God. You just make sure you don't do anything wrong, don't step out of line, and he'll keep to himself, and you keep to yourself, and everyone will be happy. Right? No. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Krishna is alive, he's active, he is affectionate, and he is very, very involved in the lives of the devotees. So Lord Nrisimhadev is like that. If I was to ask you, what are the three most powerful emotions in the world? Let me first ask the Matajis, because they're usually more in touch with their emotions than the men. Ratajis, what would you say is the most powerful emotions in the world? Which emotion?
Love.
Any other? So love?
Being happy.
Happiness, okay. Any others? Men?
Bhakti.
Devotion? Love, we can say also.
Helping others.
Fear. Helping others?
Fear.
Anger. Okay, now we started from the top, love, and then we came down to anger. That's usually how it happens. They say the three most powerful emotions in the world are love, fear, and anger. Because these emotions, once they enter the consciousness, they completely take over everything, isn't it? When someone, they have a saying, they're love blind, isn't it? Once love comes, you become blind to everything else. When you are fearful, isn't it? Kamsa, he was so fearful. He said actually that Kamsa is the incarnation of fear. Because everywhere he was seeing, in the bowl, in the sky, in the wind, he was seeing Krishna everywhere, fearful, I will be killed. And anger. Krodha, the bhavati, sammoha. Anger just covers you like anything. So if we were to look at the three most powerful emotions in the world, love, anger, and fear. The most amazing thing about this pastime from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam is they show all three of these emotions in one story to an incredible degree. Because here you read about the love of Prahlad, the love which can never be compromised by anything. Otherwise in this world, everyone may say, I have love, but their love has a price. At a certain point, the love stops. But no, in Prahlad, there's no stopping that love, immense love. And then in Nrisimhadev, we see an incredible amount of fear. Isn't it? So fearful of dying, so fearful when Lord Nrisimhadev appears. And in Lord Nrisimhadev we see an incredible amount of anger, isn't it? If there's one incarnation of the Lord, that represents anger is Nrisingadev. Even when they brought, you know, the famous picture of Nrisingadev with Hiranyakashipu on the lap, you know. So they brought it to Srila Prabhupada for inspection. So Srila Prabhupada looked at the picture, he said, "Very good, more blood." More blood. More. My God, not enough blood. No, Nrisinga, Ugra, Nrisinga, very fierce. So in the manor, we have that picture right by the altar. So people come in, they see all the beautiful pictures, and then they come to Nrisingadev. It's like, my God. And then the next bewildering thing is we say, yeah, and he's God. Because they're thinking, that's the demon. No, that's God. So once one of our devotees was there, and a new person came, he said, "What is this?" So the devotee said to that person, he said, "This? This is what happened to the last person who refused to give a donation." So, most people cannot understand Nrisingadev. How can God be so angry? Anger we generally associate with the materialistic person. But here we are seeing spiritual anger. Did you know there's a right way to become angry? Do you know that? Shall I tell you how you can detect whether your anger is spiritual anger or material anger? Anyway, for most of us, you don't need to detect. You know straight away it's material anger. But there's a difference between spiritual anger and material anger. The first difference between spiritual and material anger is that spiritual anger is completely selfless and devoid of ego. When Nrisingadev becomes angry, does he become angry for himself? He becomes angry because his devotee has been harmed. There's no ego, there's no personal pride involved. It's simply in a selfless service of the devotee. So if you get angry and you can say it's completely selfless, maybe it's spiritual anger. Another way to detect spiritual anger is that spiritual anger is when someone gets angry but they don't lose their intelligence and discrimination. Most of us, when we become angry, we lose our discrimination, our intelligence, out of the window. They say anger is one letter short of danger. So we're going to do something dangerous when we're angry because we lose our intelligence. But when Nrisingadev comes, he has perfect discrimination. He has perfect balance, even though he's incredibly angry. Do you know it said Lord Nrisingadev has two eyes, and in one eye is red hot with anger towards Hiranyakashipu, and the other eye is full of love and compassion for Prahlad. Have you ever had two eyes with two different emotions? That is only possible for Krishna. That spiritual anger, you don't lose your intelligence or discrimination. You know another way to spot spiritual anger? Spiritual anger leaves room for forgiveness. Spiritual anger leaves room to allow someone to repent for themselves. And therefore later on, even after Nrisingadev annihilated Hiranyakashipu, when Prahlad came and begged for the forgiveness of Hiranyakashipu, the Lord was very favorable to that. So this is spiritual anger. Spiritual anger is different from material anger because spiritual anger elevates us. It elevates and inspires people. Even today we are talking about Nrisingadev because it's elevating and inspiring us. And spiritual anger helps to maintain higher principles in the world, whereas material anger brings about lower principles in the material world. So therefore we should understand that Nrisingadev's anger is no material thing. It's completely spiritual, because even anger is there in the spiritual world. Even anger is there in the spiritual world. Everything is there, but it's completely spiritualized. The beautiful thing about Lord Nrisingadev's anger is that Lord Nrisimhadev's anger removes all the fears that are within the devotee. The Lord's fearful form makes the devotee completely fearless. And this is something we can deeply think about, because every single one of us in this world, we are all affected by fear, isn't it? Do you have some fears? Are you sitting here today having some fears, some anxiety? You're sitting here, but in the mind, maybe something is going on. When will he stop? Can you tell me some of the fears that people have in their life? What are people fearful of in death, this world? Death.
Right. Losing a loved one.
Losing a loved one.
Heights.
Heights. Oh, okay. Vertigo. Yeah, fear nice of heights.
Nice when you're being lonely.
Being lonely.
Pets.
Yes. Death. Yeah. Debts. Oh, debts. Debts. Worse than death. Yes, we're afraid of debts.
What the worse than death?
Yes, yes, ill yes. Health. Ill health, something happening to our health. So many anxieties, so many fears are there, isn't it? Once one man, he came to Srila Prabhupada. He was a rich, kind of industrialist type of person. And he came and he said, "Swamiji, factually I have so much money. I have so many factories. I have so many people working under me. But even though I have so many things, still I'm full of so many anxieties." Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "Yes. Chintam aparimeyam cha pralayantam upashrita kamopa bhoga parama etavaditi nischita." Because Krishna says, kamapa bhoga parama, if your desires are endless, chintam aparimeyam cha, then your anxieties will also be endless. So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "Yes, because you have so many desires, therefore your anxieties from all of these things are so great." Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, give us all the money. Give us all the factories. Give us all the anxiety. We'll be happy, you'll be happy, and Krishna will be very happy." He said, "No, I'll get back to you. I'll think about it. I'll get back to you." He said, no, we want it. We want to help you. Get his name. We'll sign him up now." No, not ready. So we hang on to things that give us so much fear and anxiety. Think about money, for example. Isn't it? If you think about money, it causes you anxiety while you're trying to get it. Once you have it, it causes you anxiety. And when you lose it, it causes you anxiety. When we're trying to get money, there's so much anxiety. Will I make it? Will I not? Someone will be first before me. So much anxiety. And then when you have it, you're constantly in anxiety. Someone will take it. Someone will steal it. And then when you lose it, "Oh no, I lost it." This is the material world. Therefore, we all have so many fears. But how can we live a life free from fear? That's what everyone is actually trying to do, but they don't know the means by which to get free from fear, isn't it? There are basically two ways that people in this world try to get free from fear: a material way and a spiritual way. The material way to try and get free from fear is symbolized by Hiranyakashipu. And the spiritual way of how to become fearless is symbolized by Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu, what did he do to try to become free from fear? He did his tapasya. He asked for boons from Brahma. And he thought that he could make arrangements in every single way so that he would not be put into any difficulty. "I won't be killed in the day or I won't be killed inside or I won't be killed by man or animal or any other being. I won't be killed in the air or on the land. I won't be, you know, so many things. He thought he made all the arrangements to free himself from fear. And don't we try to do the same thing? Put an alarm on the house. Make sure you have enough money in the bank account. Make sure you take out an insurance policy. Make sure you have a backup if this thing doesn't work. Make sure you take out a recovery in case your car breaks down. This is Hiranyakashipu mentality. Am I saying you shouldn't do all of those things? No, no, you can do, no problem. But those things won't free you from fear. Because you could do all of those things, and still what happens in life? Problems come. You can't stop by material means. So some people try to solve their problem of fear through physical arrangements, practical arrangements. Some people try to get rid of their fears by some kind of mental adjustment. Some people try to get rid of their fears through intellectual positioning, you know, like sometimes they have these infographics. Do you have a worry? Yes. Can you do something about it? No. Therefore, don't worry about it. Can you do something about it? Yes. Then don't worry about it. So therefore, you should never worry about anything, these kind of things. But it will make sense on paper, but does it free us from our fear? It doesn't. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he was not freed from fear, even though he made so many arrangements. So therefore, we have to look to someone else if we want to get free from fear. And who's that other person that we have to look towards? That is Prahlad. Because Prahlad, he knew, where does fear come from? Do you know where fear comes from? Bhagavatam explains, Bhayam ditiya bhinivesyat asyad ishad petasya viparyayo smriti tanmayaya to buddha abhijetam bhaktyaikayesham gurudevatatma. This is where fear comes from. Ishad petasya, you know the first sign of fear coming, ishad petasya, you turn away from Krishna. Krishna bahir mukha hoya bhogavan chakore. When you turn away your face from Krishna and you look in the other direction, immediately your life is going in the wrong direction. Because ishad petasya, as soon as you look away from Krishna, then the next thing that happens, dvitiya, you begin to see another reality separate from Krishna. And in that reality, what happens? Then mayayato, maya covers you. Illusion begins to cover you. And then when you're covered by illusion, bhayam, then fear is coming again and again and again. Fear is coming. And therefore in this world, people are so much fearful. And the root cause of their fear is because Krishna is not in their life. Because they cannot see Krishna, they cannot perceive Krishna's presence. But when someone has made a connection with Krishna, when someone is feeling the presence of Krishna in their life, then there will be no fear. Therefore they once asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? And what did Srila Prabhupada say? I feel no fear. He could have said so many things, but he said, when I chant, I feel no fear. Because when you chant, you're in the presence of Krishna. And when you're in the presence of Krishna, then how can there be any illusion? Krishna Surya Sama Hoya Maya Andhakar Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, Maya has no opportunity to remain. And so in this way, Prahlad is showing us that if we can learn to see Krishna everywhere, then we will have no fear. But to the extent that we can't see Krishna, to the extent that we can't perceive Krishna, To that extent, fear will constantly be behind us like a barking dog. Isn't it? In the Sri Vaishnav commentaries on this pastime, they are explaining Prahlad's consciousness when Hiranyakashipu and all of his servants were trying to kill Prahlad. So Prahlad, how did they try to kill Prahlad? They threw him into a pit of snakes. So they asked Prahlad later on, weren't you fearful when they threw you into a pit of snakes? Prahlad said, look, Vishnu is my father. And Vishnu is resting, Anantashesh. He is resting on the Lord of all snakes. So do you think that the servant of the Lord of all snakes, upon whom my father is resting, do you think they will harm me? They are the servant of my father.
Wow.
They said to Prahlad, but then they tried to feed you poison. Were you not fearful? Prahlad said, what do you mean? Eons ago, the demigods and the demons were churning the milk ocean. And who came out of the milk ocean? Lakshmi. And who also came out of the milk ocean? Poison. Halahal. So that means Lakshmi and the poison are brother and sister. And therefore, do you think that my maternal uncle would cause me any harm? Not possible. No, Prahlad, but they tried to put you in fire. Were you not fearful? Prahlad said, but the fire, yajna vai Vishnu. When you do a yajna, when you do a sacrifice, then there's a yajna kund. And the fire represents what? The mouth of Vishnu. Do you think if you put me in the mouth of my father, he will devour me? No, but Prahlad, they tried to throw you off a cliff. Were you not fearful? Prahlad said, my father is Vishnu. And when Vishnu came as Varahadev, then what did Varahadev do? He lifted the earth planet. And as soon as Varahadev lifted Bhumi, then because of his touch, Bhumi and Varahadev had a son, Bhaumasura. Therefore, Bhumi is my mother. So do you think that if you throw me into the lap of my mother, I will die? Amazing. Krishna says, Yo mam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyati tasya ham na pranashyami sacha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor are they ever lost to me. How many of us are seeing Krishna? Can you see Krishna? One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Berry Place. And all of a sudden, he was giving the class and one man just stood up right in the middle of the class and he said, but have you seen Krishna? So he was standing right. So Prabhupada said, yeah, just move to one side. I can see if you move. Krishna is here. Prabhupada said, yes, I have seen Krishna. Everyone was silent. And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, haven't you seen Krishna? He said, no. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, but do you want to see Krishna? And in that moment, he thought deeply. And then he said, no. No, I don't want to see Krishna. Prabhupada said, therefore you cannot see Krishna. The reason we can't see Krishna is because our desire is not strong. We don't really want to see Krishna. George Harrison says, no, I really want to see you. I really want to see you. Can we say that truly? I really want to see Krishna. I really want to see you. That has become a burning desire within my heart. Until it becomes a burning desire, Krishna is not going to force himself into your life. But the moment you say, Krishna, please come, then he'll run. But Krishna doesn't force. Because even at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what does he say to Arjuna? Yata icha tatha kuru. Now I've given you the knowledge, you do what you want to do. Once I asked someone, what's the conclusion of the Gita? He said, it's clear. Krishna says, do what you want to do. not exactly. But Krishna does give free will. And then he does say, Shrinu me paramam vacha, but I have a supreme instruction. If you want to follow it, it will be good for you. Krishna doesn't force. So we have to develop the desire, just like Prahlad had such a strong desire. Prahlad was willing to take a risk. If you want to see Krishna, you have to be willing to take a risk for Krishna. Put your hand up if you're willing to take a risk for Krishna to see Krishna. Okay, we have a few takers there. Now my next question to you is, how much of a risk? What do you define as a risk? How much are you willing to go outside of your comfort zone? How much are you willing to embrace sacrifice? How much are you prepared to leave behind everything you know to find that which you don't know, the unknown? That you have to ask yourself. Because in this world we're so attached, we're still holding on to all the things of this world, and we want Krishna at the same time. We want the best of both worlds. We want the best of this world, and we want the best of the spiritual world. We want the best of both worlds. But what does Krishna say? Bhogeshwariya prashaktanam daya parita chetasham vyavasayatmika buddhi samadho nubidhiyate. If you're attached to bhoga and aishwarya, if you're attached to enjoyment, if you're attached to opulence, if you're attached to the security of this world, then the resolute determination to see me, to serve me, to ultimately be with me, that won't take place. So you can't hold on to the things of this world and at the same time see Krishna. So therefore we have to be willing to let go. Therefore Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam vrajami. So we have to let go, and we have to be willing to take a risk. Spiritual life is risky business. Dhruva took a risk. He went to the forest. Prahlad took a risk, even though Hiranyakashipu challenged him 3 times. What is the best thing you've learned? What is the best thing you've learned? What is the best thing you've learned? He knew Hiranyakashipu was becoming angrier and angrier, but he never compromised his position. He took that risk. And he said, yes, my Lord is everywhere. He's even in that pillar. You have to take a risk. Srila Prabhupada took a risk. Once they were walking past the Victoria Memorial in Calcutta, and Srila Prabhupada was walking with the devotees, and Prabhupada said, when I was a young boy, I walked right to the top. I climbed right to the top. And they said, Prabhupada, you must have been very brave as a child. Prabhupada said, I was brave then, and I'm brave now. Otherwise, how could I have come to your country with nothing? So are you brave? Are you ready to take a risk? Those who take a risk for Krishna see Krishna the closest. Those who make an endeavor, those who make a sacrifice, they see Krishna. So we must all ask ourselves, what am I doing in my life to show Krishna that I really want to see him? And according to that, we'll get a certain amount of darshan and experience of Krishna. So as we meditate on this pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev, there's so many lessons to learn. But the ultimate lesson is that if we want to become free from fear, then the only way we can do it is if we re-enter our relationship with Krishna, and where we can feel the presence of Krishna in our life. So let me stop there. I can speak more, but let me just pause here and see whether so far anyone may have any questions or any comments or any complaints.
I have a question.
You have a question? Yes, Peter.
You said about...
Is there a mic for Guru?
Yeah, your mic. Okay. Switch on.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. So you said about three emotions, as a love, fear,
and anger.
I was thinking, I might be wrong, so I was thinking about the last. Is the last equal to three of them, or what is the position of a last desire or calm equal to three of them?
Yes, lust also. In the material world, love is transformed into lust. Atmendriya priti vancha tare bolikam, Krishnandriya priti icha dhare premanam. Lust is simply a transformation, perverted reflection of love. And therefore, yes, you're very right. Krishna says, kama rupena konteya dushpureina nalena cha. Lust is the eternal enemy of the living entity, and it burns like fire. And therefore, yes, you're right. Lust is a very powerful emotion in this world. And actually, Bhagavatam says, Pumsha Striya Mithuni Bhavametam. The lust between man and woman is the basic principle of material existence. On that principle, the whole material world is going on. So yes, you're right. Lust is also there. And all of these are connected, actually, because Krishna says also, where does lust come from? Kama esha, krodha esha. Yeah, when passion is transformed into lust and anger like that. So yes, these are all very powerful emotions. So yes, Bhagavatam contains all the rasa, isn't it? What do we say about Bhagavatam? Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukha mukhad amrita dravya samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. You see, alaya means a place. So vidyalaya means the library. Bhojanalaya means the restaurant. Material world means dukhalaya. And Bhagavatam is rasamalaya, the place where you experience all the tastes. So all the tastes are there in Bhagavatam: anger, love, fear. Better than any Bollywood movie. I tell you an interesting story Gogavinda Maharaj once told. That in some village in Orissa, they would reenact the pastimes of the Shastra. So one time on Nrisinga Chaturdashi, they were doing the play of Lord Nrisingadev. And he said that when the actors are very much entering into the pastime, then the rasa, the actual spirit of that character, enters into them. So in this play in Orissa, they were doing the play of Lord Nrisingadev. And when it came to the point that Nrisingadev came out of the pillar, and he was attacking Hiranyakashipu, this devotee who was playing Nrisingadev, he became infused with the spirit. And he actually caught hold of the other person, and he was actually ripping him. So they had to stop the play. He actually, Nrisingadev entered him. So anyway, then the year went on and it came to Diwali. Every festival there's a drama. So they were doing the casting for Ramayana. So when they came to this guy, they thought, oh my god, like, be careful what part to give him. So in this play, they thought, give him the safe role, Dasarath. We'll give him Dasarath, it's okay, he's not. So this man, he became Dasarath in this play. And in this play, in the point in the play they were enacting of Ramayana, When it came to the point where Lord Ram was banished, and in Ramayana we hear that when Lord Ram was banished and Dasarath went into a deep separation. So in the play, Ram left, he went into a deep separation, and this person, he actually died. He died in the play. Because the emotion that Dasarath, he died out of separation. It's amazing, huh? So this is the Bhagavatam, is full of this taste, full of this rasa. And therefore, when we enter into these pastimes, it's very, very powerful. Hare Krishna. Yes. Oh, yes. Sorry, that's probably.
Maharaj.
Jai Sira. Jai. We got loads of devotees here who are, they might be wondering what risks should we take. We have taken initiation, we follow the four principles, we come to the temple, and we sacrifice our time. So that, what else could you say there, what risks they could take?
Okay.
So yeah. Then they feel secure, otherwise they'd be thinking whatever we have done amounts to nothing. So a little bit of encouragement, like, you know, what they've done so far and what more they can risk.
What risk would you like to take? Take sannyas.
That's the bigger risk.
No, you know, Krishna said, who is a sannyasi? Anashita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yasa sannyasi. The one who gives everything to Krishna, that is the real sannyasi. So what is the risk? Give more to Krishna. You have money? Give more money. You have time? Give more time. You have intelligence, abilities? Use them for Krishna. Don't hold back. Because Krishna is smarter. He doesn't see what you have. Here, Krishna, I'm giving you so much. Nice, but can I look round the back? What's there? Krishna doesn't see how much you give. Krishna sees how much you're holding back. Yes, Krishna, you know, no, Krishna is more clever. You can't cheat Krishna. Don't try to cheat Krishna. He tried to cheat Krishna. One man, he went to the top of the mountain. Because when you go to the top of the mountain, you're closer to God. He's up there somewhere. So he went to the top of the mountain and he shouted out, God, God, if you're there, then please show me a sign. So sure enough, yes, my dear son, I am here. Wow, God answered him. Then he shouted up, he said, God, for you, how much is $1,000? God said, for me, $1,000 is just like 1 cent. So then he said, shouted up, and God, for you, how much is thousands of years? For me, a thousands of years is just like 1 moment. So, wow. So he said, God, can you give me 1 cent? Yes, just wait 1 moment. You can't cheat Krishna. You can't cheat Krishna. Because we try to come in front of Krishna and make out, no, I'm dedicated, I'm giving so much, I am committed. I have been around for 20, 30, 40 years. Of course, that is wonderful, but it's not enough. Because yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat johoshi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, Tat Guru Shva Madarpanam. Everything you do, everything you eat, everything you give away, everything. Krishna wants everything. Krishna wants everything. And if you don't give it, he'll steal it anyway. Raja Prasidam Navanita Chauram Gopanganam Chadukula Chauram. But don't worry, aneka janmar jita papa choro. He doesn't just steal your facilities, he doesn't just steal your health. Krishna also steals away your karma. So the risk means to be able to be ready to give a little bit more. You see, what you done 1 year ago in spiritual life, it's not enough anymore. It's not enough. Oh no, Prabhu, I've been chanting the same rounds for so many years. Good, it's not enough anymore. Just like if you're doing press-ups, and for 20 years you just do 20 press-ups every day. Are you going to build more muscle? Really? To quote one of the acharyas of our times, Mike Tyson. He said, I only start counting the press-ups when it hurts. So if you're giving money, it's good. But when it starts hurting, that's when it's better. If you're giving time, that's good. But when it starts hurting, that's better. It's not enough. Krishna is not cheap. See, we were ready to work hard for so many things in this world. How hard did you work to set up your career? How hard did you work to bring up your children? How hard did you work to make a home for yourself in a foreign country, coming from another country? So hard. So many sacrifices. Are you willing to do the same for Krishna? How many years did you spend in the educational system so that you could get a job in this world? 20 years? Monday to Friday, morning to evening, with terrible teachers and some good ones. We did it. Are you willing to spend even 10% of that time? 2 years to study about spiritual knowledge full time? Are you ready? Just 10%. I don't ask for 20 years. I ask just for 10%. No. You have to be practical. We have to live. Yes, you have to live. And you also want to go back to Godhead? Or you just want to live? Because if you just want to live, then you're going to live. And then you know what? You're going to get another chance to live. Because you're going to come back again. Mrityu samsara vartmani, again and again and again. So it's not enough. Have to do more. Have to sacrifice more. Krishna is demanding. But someone who loves you is demanding. Someone who doesn't care about you is not demanding. Yeah, do what you want to do, no problem. But someone who loves you is demanding. So that's what it means to take a risk. Give some more. It's not enough. What you did 1 year ago is not enough. More.
Nice. Round of applause for that.
I have a question.
I think Prabhu had a question. And then you can.
Prabhu, this Prahalad Maharaj is such a great devotee. He must have had a past birth. I mean, he should have been, so much of Sukruti is coming. So any, where it's told, what was his past birth and how he got such an elevated status in that birth?
There's some story in the Nishinga Puran that it was Nishinga Chaturdashi, and there was one husband and wife, and by accident they had some fight. And then on the day of that Nishinga Chaturdashi, because they had a fight, they were so angry with each other that they didn't eat anything. So inadvertently on Nishinga Chaturdashi they fasted. So there's some story like that actually. I have to find the reference. But there is something like that, relating to Prahlad Maharaj's different existences. And then of course we know in the Bhagavatam is mentioned the different lives of Prahlad Maharaj as Upabharna and others. So his previous lives are given. So yes, there are many things that build us up to where we are now, and there are many activities that we do in previous lives that amount to where we are in this stage in our spiritual journey, like that. Yes. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. First of all, thank you for blessing us with your presence. It's been really nice having you here. As you were talking, the thought came up in my mind, the question came up that how does one, what's the fastest way or the fastest route one can develop the kind of faith that's unflinching that Prahlad Maharaj has?
The fastest way. Like we are talking, if you want to go fast, then you take a bigger risk. Because if you take a bigger risk, you get a bigger realization. And in the bigger realization, you get more faith. But we have to be careful, because we have to do also within our means. If we try to do too much too quickly, it can also break our faith as well. And therefore, the fastest way to develop faith is to make a sacrifice in which you bend yourself without breaking yourself. Right? There is comfort zone and there is crisis zone. But in the middle of that, there's stretch zone. So we have to know the art of how to not stay in the comfort zone and how to avoid being in the crisis zone, but to live our lives always in the stretch zone. That's goodness. Comfort means ignorance. Crisis means passion. But stretch zone means goodness. That's where you're growing. So the main problem with devotees is that probably 90% of us are in comfort zone, and maybe 9.99% of us are in crisis zone. And very few are in stretch zone. So if you want to develop your faith, yes, we can say you develop your faith from philosophy. Yes, you can develop your faith from other people. But those two types of faith are borrowed faith. The real faith is coming from your realization of Krishna. You see, once the devotee asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how are you able to go across the world and challenge all of these scientists, all of these people, you know, that God exists? How are you so bold to just challenge anyone that God exists? And you know what Prabhupada said? He said, how can I believe them when they say Krishna doesn't exist, when I'm seeing Krishna every single day? So it's not that Prabhupada had faith in his philosophical ability to counter all their arguments. Prabhupada was seeing Krishna. And when you're seeing Krishna, that gives you a faith, which then gives you the confidence to do anything. Shraddha shabde vishvash kohe sudhrida nishchoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. That by the word shraddha, what do we mean? Vishvas, a strong conviction that if I serve Krishna, everything in my life will be perfect. So how do you get that? You give more and more to Krishna. And then you see, when I give to Krishna, I'll never be the loser. So we have to, again, is coming to this point that we have to be willing to stretch. We have to be willing to do more. And everyone takes their own risk. Just like someone came to me and said, you took sannyas? That's such a big risk. So I said, yeah, it's a risk. Not taking sannyas is also a risk. Getting married is also a risk. Is it? Is it? Not getting married is also a risk. Everything's a risk. Everything you do in life is a risk. giving your time to Krishna, is it a risk? Yeah? Okay, are you ready then to give all your time to Krishna? Really? Are you ready? Yes? 100%. Everything. Now I'm looking at Prabhu, direct in the eyes. Everything. All your time. We are thinking, still, if I give this much time, maybe I lose out on something. We're not ready. But if you don't give your time to Krishna, it's also a risk. Everything's a risk. What to do? I tell you, like, life is like this. Imagine you're in quicksand. Understand? Quicksand? You're sinking. Now someone's in quicksand, they're slowly sinking, and they look forward and they say, I could get out this way, but I see some wolves there. No, no, that's too dangerous. I look this way, but then there's a mountain cliff there, maybe I'll fall. No, no, I won't go there. But maybe I'll go this way, but there's a strong deep ocean there, maybe I'll drown. Well, maybe I'll go back, but there's some thieves there. No, no, I can't go there. Okay, then I'll do the safe option. I'll just stay here. Really? I'm definitely going to die. Definitely going to die. So we think, I can't do that. It's too dangerous. I can't do that. It's too... Okay, let me just carry on in my life then. The way it's going. That's safe. No, no, it's not safe. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukha, dosha, anudarshanam. Death is coming. And what does Krishna say? Mrityu sarva harascha aham. And then at that point, I'm going to take everything. In one clean sweep, boom, everything is gone. But I don't want to take a risk. You got, in one sense, in Krishna consciousness, there is no risk. Because you're going to lose everything anyway. It's gone. It's just a matter of time. As sure as
death.
So, but we think, no, no, in the time I have here, it's so risky. I don't know. Can I become a patron of the temple and give that much money? I don't know. What about if I lose? You're going to lose it anyway. It's going to go. So this is our illusion. We are. So anyway, I'm going. You get my point. Hare Krishna. So Mataji, is that okay? You're very quiet. Any questions? Comments?
Come on, Pooja. You have a question?
Yeah, can you give the
mic? It's going on one mic. Take a bit
of Hare Krishna. Is there a
green light on it?
Thank you so much, Maharaji, for such a an inspirational class today. The question I have for Maharaji is, as you said, like in your class today, that Krishna has given us free will, like, and based on that will, we can decide what we can do. Like, for example, if I want to decide something for my future, so I have given a free will, but Maharaji, if my past conditioning is not good, and if I'm taking some decision, so how can I believe my decision, whether it's good or right, or whether it will lead me to a good life or not good life? So how?
Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Guru Sadhu Shastra Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. If you want your consciousness to be purified, if you want your consciousness to be clear, if you want to go and discriminate in the right way in your life, then always check whatever you're thinking with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Now, of course, it's not that in every single thing you're going to do in life, it's like, should I have one more chapati or not? Quickly. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, what are they saying? No, like, okay, you have to develop some kind of discrimination. But when you're making big decisions, should I live here or there? Should I do this job or that job? Should I, you know, enter into this life situation or that life situation? Big decisions we are always checking, we are always taking. Therefore, Arjun has a big decision to make. So then what does Arjun do? You see, when you have to make a decision, there are different levels of decision. Lowest level of decision is indecision. You can't make a decision. This is mode of ignorance. Higher than that is impulsiveness. You make a decision without even thinking. That's mode of passion. Higher than that is introspection. You think about it. What's the cost, benefits? But do you know there's something even, that's mode of goodness. But do you know there's something even higher than introspection? Inspiration. Take the inspiration from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra and then introspect on that. Those will be the best decisions. Therefore, what does Arjun say? 2.7 Shishyasteham sadhimam vamprapannam. I'm your disciple. Guide me, inspire me, advise me. So therefore, don't be indecisive, don't be impulsive, be introspective, but add inspiration to your introspection, and then you will make good decisions. And then when all is said and done, you just have to make a decision sometimes. Sometimes even when you've referred to Guru Sadhu Shastra, it may not be clear to you, but at least you've gone through the process and you've shown your sincerity to Krishna. Then whatever decision you make, Krishna will always protect it. Because Krishna says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma sasvat chantim nigacchati kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pralashyati. Arjuna, you tell the whole world, my devotee will never be put in a difficult situation as long as they go through the process. So yes, life is full of so many decisions. You have to make so many decisions in your life. Go through the process and then surrender to Krishna. See what happens.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Touching on that same question, I was inspired by one of the classes you gave, which maybe you can share and add to what she just asked, because you talked about the outer conversation in Gita and inner conversation, the two conversations, and then the small-minded people, the angry-minded people, and the wise people, which association we should be aspiring for.
Yes, if we look at the Bhagavad Gita, then there's basically two conversations going on. The first conversation is between Dhritarashtra and
Sanjaya.
So what is the? How does that conversation begin? Dhritarashtra says, Kim akur vata Sanjaya? When my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled, what did they do? And then if you fast forward to the end of the Gita, the very final verse of the Gita, Sanjaya basically tells him, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Danurdhara, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is Arjuna, there will always be victory. So the outer conversation of the Gita is about events. What will happen? It's about events and people. Right? The question is what? What happened? What about the people? The question is what? But if you look at the inner conversation of the Gita, that begins in 2.7 when Arjun says, what is my dharma? Dharma samuda cheta. He says, I'm confused about my dharma. You please tell me what is my dharma? So that conversation ends in 1866 when Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam saranam vraja. So if you look at the inner conversation, it's not about events, it's not about people, it's not about what. The inner conversation of the Gita is about purpose, meaning. The inner conversation is the question of why. Why do I exist? Very few people in their life ask the question of purpose and meaning. Very few people ask the question why. Most people are asking the question, what should I do? How should I do it? What happened? But that is a very superficial. The deeper thing to know is, why are you here? If you know why you're here, then everything else becomes clear. So therefore we say, small minds discuss people. Average minds discuss events. But great minds discuss wisdom. So what is everyone talking about on WhatsApp, on social media, on TikTok, on Snapchat, on Instagram? What is it? Are they talking about people? Are they talking about events? Or are they talking about wisdom? What do you think? The balance is mostly it's about people and events. So that's why we have to have deeper, meaningful conversation. Otherwise, even sometimes we come into our own communities and we're only talking about people. And do you know Rasik Bhai's son's brother married her? And then did you know what happened between them? What did Mahaprabhu tell Raghunath Das? Gramya katha na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe, bhalana khaibe ar, bhalana paribe. Don't speak useless things. Don't hear useless things. Hear Krishna katha. Because average minds discuss people and events, but great minds discuss wisdom. So if you do that, everything will become clear. Because Krishna says, Nahi jnane na sadrisham. In this world, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. So this knowledge we must grasp and we have to live it. So Srila Prabhupada gave us these books. It's wonderful. So we should take advantage. This is our greatest treasure. This is our greatest friend. And these books can give us the vision to see Krishna every moment in our life. And if we do that, then there will be no more fear.